Hallelujah. Welcome if you're watching online. Welcome to Murray Grace Fellowship here in the northeast of Scotland. We're now live. Say hello to everyone, people.
Hello. Hello.
Good to see you all. Let's pray, shall we? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much for our service this morning. Thank you that we've been here to worship, to come together, to sing our praises to you, Father, as we saw in Psalm 135. We thank you for that opportunity, Lord. Thank you for Nunzi leading us in worship. Thank you, Father, that we've now come to look at your word. Thank you for these seeds we're about to plant in our hearts. Thank you for what your word says about your word, that it's a seed, that our heart is the ground, that we need to sow the seeds, to cultivate it, to water it, to remove weeds. And thank you for that analogy, Father, of the word being a seed. So we plant some seeds this morning. I speak our understanding in the name of Jesus, understanding so these seeds are not stolen, understanding so that these seeds will renew our mind and we will be transformed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome to the first sermon of 2022. Woo! Welcome. No, I'm not going to do that again. It's not a pantomime, is it? Hallelujah. First sermon in 2022. I'm really excited about it. I'm going to start a wee mini-series this morning because you know me. I like to preach in a series. But I am going to give you a health warning with it. Because you know me, at the start of the new year, I can sometimes be a bit challenging. Yeah? Yeah, you ain't heard nothing yet. So this is going to be challenging. It's been challenging to me the last week, and I'm hoping that it's going to be challenging to you. If you find it condemning, please come and speak to me. Let's work through it together. This is not meant to be condemning. In fact, it's coming straight from the Word of God, so it shouldn't be condemning. If it's condemning, that's the enemy or yourself. Sorry, this is going to be the year of being blunt as well. So what's news, Anna? So if it's condemning you, please come and let's chat through why it's condemning you, because it shouldn't be. It should be challenging. I want it to be really challenging. And I'm excited about it. I've been meditating on it for about 10 days now since I stole the idea from someone else. Or should I say I was inspired. I'm calling this series, What Do You Have in Your Hands? I want us to think about that for the next couple of weeks. And it's not a phone. Bible specs. What do you have in your hands? And this was a sermon series inspired by my beloved, by Nunzi. So there's your one and only credit, darling. That's it. Now it's mine. No, we had the absolute privilege of teaching the Karamuri Church on, when was it, the 30th and 31st? Yeah, so 30th of December in Hogmanay, just as they were moving into their New Year celebrations. We had a couple of services with a church in Karamuri, so we were on the laptop and Sunda was translating, and it was great fun, and the kids were jumping in front of the camera, and adults were jumping in front of the camera, and we had a good time. Not as good as being there, but, well, better than nothing. And Nunzi spoke to our brothers and sisters in Karamuru about Jesus and the feeding of the 5,000. Yeah, I've heard that before, Vic. No, not in this way. We all know about the feeding of the 5,000. Yeah, it's a wonderful account, but there's lessons we can learn from it. You remember that, I think I started, was it last year I started with the passages about we can do the same things as Jesus, but we can do greater things? Jesus fed the 5,000. We can do greater than that. So I want to challenge us, using this account and some other accounts of people in the Word, I want to really challenge us over the next 3 or 4 weeks. Because Nunzi taught something quite different on that. I think it was the 30th. And I was taking copious notes. And when Nunzi was finished, I thought, I'll get 5 sermons out of this. So give us your notes, Nunzi. So I've got the notes. So I've been really excited over the last 10 days working through that. and inspired this new series. And I want to build on what Nunzi taught, or what got me so excited and has challenged me, and I want it to challenge you, not just for the year ahead, because you know, that's a traditionally thing pastors do at the start of the year. I want to challenge you and encourage you for the year ahead. No, this is for your life. Going forward, I want to encourage you and challenge you to change your life going forward. Trying to answer these questions over the next few weeks. What do you have in your hands? Are you valuing what you have in your hands? What are you saying about what you have in your hands? And what are you doing with what you have in your hands? And I'm going to teach on that coming out of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Now you might think, oh, I'm not really sure about what I have in my hands. You know, Grant, straight away, oh, got my phone. What have you got in your hands? Got my phone. Yeah. But I'm not talking literally about what you have in your hands, okay? I am talking about skills. I'm talking about experience. I'm talking about mindsets, about resources, about qualifications, about contacts, about networks, talking about knowledge and expertise, talking about intellect. All things that we possess and all things that we can have in our hands. And I want to challenge you going forward into something bigger and better by one, using what you already have and what you're good at, and partnering with God in those things. So using what you already have, what you've already got, and partnering with God on those things. Turn with me to Mark. Mark 6. Well, we all know this account, but let's read it anyway. Mark 6, verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. It's getting late, probably need to get home. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they came, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Awesome. Awesome. Jesus feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Well, that was just the men. That's the men that they counted. So 10, 15, 20,000 people, including the women and the kids. But I mean, whatever way, even if it was only 5,000, fed only 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's astonishing. He fed thousands with a tiny amount of food. But he not only fed them, he fed them well. They did eat and they were filled. Full to the gunnels, as we would say up here. And not only that, there was heaps left over. Think about what happened here. Jesus took a small amount of food. A small thing in the physical. A small thing in the natural. And miraculously, supernaturally, fed thousands of people. He took an insignificant amount in the natural. He took a small thing and did a supernatural thing. He had a small amount in his hands and he did great things with it. How did he do that? Look at Mark 6, 41. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided he among them all. Jesus did four things. Here's the four things for our model. I like models. So here's the four things. One, he took what he had into his hands. Two, he looked up to heaven. Three, he blessed what he had. And four, he broke them up and distributed the food. He used what he had. Took what he had in his hands, looked to heaven, blessed it, used it. And that'll be the main thrust of the teaching in this mini-series. I'll show you this is a great model to use. Whatever you have in your hands, however small, however insignificant you think it is, if you're in partnership with God, and who's in partnership with God here? Who's in a covenant relationship with God? A few of you, yeah, amen? We can do great things. And today I'm just going to briefly go through this. Well, I say briefly. I better not say briefly. Evelyn will be jumping up and down. I'm going to briefly go through these four things that Jesus did and show them how we can translate them into what we can do. And then I'm going to enlarge on it, summarize it and enlarge on it week in, week out for the next 3 or 4 weeks. So, to start with, Jesus had a need to be met. Well, not just him. There was a need to be met. Yeah? But he only had something that looked really small in his hands. Or it looked like he only had something really small to use. And many of us think like that when we're looking at our lives. We have needs to meet. Put food on the table, keep a roof over our heads, plot our way through a career path, work our way through school or college, or just simply get by in a job. And we think we have very little to help us. Very little that we can use. There's never enough qualifications. Not qualified enough. Not enough skills. I've never done that before. I can't do that. Not enough money or resources. And I'm just not good enough. That's where many of us are coming from. And because of that, here's what many people do. I saw this all the time when I was working in the secular industry. And I see it all the time out there in the world. And unfortunately, I see it in the church. What do we see? We see complaining. People complain. We see moaning. We see people belittling what they have. We speak negatively about what we have. We blame others for our lack. Excuses after excuses after excuses. See, I mean, any condemnation, let's chat about it afterwards. This is not meant to condemn. Hopefully I'll challenge you soon. We blame our parents. We blame our families. We blame our leaders, our politicians. We belittle what we have. We look at it and we complain that it's not enough. We look at it and think, what can I do with this? What can I achieve with this? Always that implication of this is too small, not enough, not big enough, not good enough. I'll never amount to anything with this. Many people give up or simply just attempt to keep their heads above water and don't strive for success or excellence, which is something else I'm going to challenge you soon. Everything we do, we should be striving with excellence. But that's another message. That's Joseph, Daniel. But we'll get there. What's the point? I don't have that money. I don't have that degree. I don't have that charisma and experience. What I have is not good enough. It's no use to me or anyone. We do the exact opposite of what Jesus did in Mark 6:41. If we were Jesus in that context, this, I think, is what some of us, many of us, most of us, I don't know, I don't want to judge, some of us might have done. We would have looked down at the loaves and fishes. We would have looked at what we actually had in our hands and said, this will never be enough. Can you see the amount of folk out there? This will never feed all them. What's the point of this? You know, you're right, guys. Send them away. They can try and buy their own bread. 200 pennies isn't going to get enough. We better let them. Just let them go. You know, and like the 13 of us will leak out this little picnic. Maybe it'll be enough for us. Just us. And we would have lost the opportunity to provide. We would have lost that opportunity to bless with the supernatural, with the miraculous. Okay, so Mark 6:41, what did Jesus do? What can we learn from this? Number one, he took in his hands what he had. Now you might say, well, that's obvious. Yeah, well, it's not to some people. I see a lot of people with skills and they're not using them. They've not got them in their hands. They're not making income streams with them. Mark writes that he took the loaves and the fishes. He had them in his hands. He possessed them. He took them up. In a sense, he accepted what he had. Because he accepted them, he didn't reject it. He didn't reject what he had. He did not reject or ignore. He took them in his hands. So he picked them up. This is what I've got. This is what I've got to use. This is what I've got to work with. Okay. Then what did he do? He looked up to heaven. Now, this is huge. Now, this didn't come to me while Nunzi was preaching this, but on Saturday morning when I was sitting preparing for this sermon, I had a memory come into my head. And I remembered a sermon from a pastor that many, many years ago was teaching on this. And he said when Jesus looked up to heaven, he was looking to God to provide. He was looking to God. In fact, he was praying for help. He was begging and pleading God to provide. Now, I can't remember my exact thought at the time, but yesterday I thought, that is just so wrong on so many levels. And wrong for Jesus in that context. Jesus had been anointed and appointed to provide. He'd been anointed and appointed to make a difference, and he knew that. And it's also so wrong for us. It's even more wrong for us than it was for Jesus. It's even more wrong for us because we now live under the new covenant. We now live under grace. Where Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And because of 2 Peter 1 verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. All spiritual blessings, past tense, given unto us, past tense, all things for life and godliness. Our provision has already been put in place. Through the finished work of Jesus, we are in the new covenant under grace. We are not to ask God for things. We believe and receive. Amen. So let's not go down that road of looking up as begging and pleading. Looking up to God, help me. No, that's not what this. The Greek word is azaplepo, means to look up by implication, to recover sight, to see. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Jesus wasn't blind. Yeah? So this is not about him receiving physical sight. He was not looking in the physical or the natural here. Jesus was changing what he was looking at. In his hand, he had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Insignificant. But he took them in his hands and he looked up. He was looking at something different. He was seeing something different. He was looking into the spiritual realm, to the things of God, and seeing what was possible there, from that realm. In his hands, he had the physical. He was looking what's possible in the spiritual when he was looking up. We know there is so much more to this life than just the solid stuff we can see. There's a spiritual all around us. Huge potential. We know there's a spirit realm out there. And also now, we also know there's a spiritual realm in here. And in you guys as well. What potential! And Jesus was tapping into that when it says he looked up. He was tapping into the potential of the spiritual realm, of the things of God. And there's also, I like to imagine things. Me and Paul, we like to imagine things. And imagine what's going on there and see if we can learn from it. So there's a picture for us to learn from that, to reinforce that truth I just told you. Picture Jesus. This is the loaves and the fishes. Okay? So Jesus has picked up the loaves and the fishes. He's got them in his hand. Now imagine I'm Jesus. He's holding them. He's got them in his hand. And he's looking to heaven. What can't he see? What can't he see? The piddly, insignificant thing he's got in the physical. He can't see that when he's looking at heaven. He's focusing on that. He's not focusing on that. He's looking at the spiritual. He's focusing on the spiritual, not on the physical. This is a picture of taking our focus off the nonsense in the physical, or the little insignificance in the physical, onto the huge things of God. Colossians 3:1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ. Who's been risen with Christ? Hallelujah. You're saved, you're born again, you've been risen with Christ. If then ye have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Wow, that's good advice. That is really good. New covenant confirmation of a model in the Gospels. Great stuff. Set your affection on has a wonderful meaning in the Greek. Now you guys, I love the Greek. I'm not great at it, but I've got a thing online or on my phone that tells me. The word is phroneo, listen to this, to exercise the mind. To entertain or have a sentiment or opinion, to be mentally disposed in a certain direction. Now, that just really excited me when I read that. to exercise the mind, to entertain or have a sentiment or opinion, to be mentally disposed in a certain way. Exercise your mind on the things above. Exercise your mind on the things of God. Have your opinion decided it's the things of God. Exercise your mind on the spiritual and not on the earth, on the natural, on the physical, or the lack thereof. Decide to put your mind in the direction of the spiritual and not purely on the physical. Base your opinion on the things of God and not on the things of earth. That's what it means to look up. That small thing in your hand, that little skill, that little experience, that tiny resource, that insignificant qualification, are you staring at that and the lack thereof? Are you focusing on it, how small it is, how insignificant it is? Or are you looking up to the things of God? Seeing that God has a plan and a purpose for you. Seeing that God has equipped you, and God doesn't give you a degree. Now, I'm not against qualifications. I mean, I'm not going to say what Paul thought his were. Dung was the nice word. I'm not against qualifications. But sometimes it's, you know, and I've seen this. You know, guys, get this, get that, get the next thing. Oh, but I want to get this one, the degree. Oh, and then I'll get the master's. And then I'll get the PhD. Yeah, we had to tell Jay, no, son, we're stopping paying at the master's. You want the PhD, you've got people like yourself. But you know, there's people that just wanting to always... there are people coming out of my head seem to be eternally in college. There's come a time you've got to get out of college and get a job. Why did I say that? Because God doesn't give us degrees. Just because you don't have a degree doesn't mean you're not capable. You're not competent. Are you seeing that God has a plan and a purpose for you? That God has a way for you? That God has a path? Read Proverbs. Stick on his path, you'll be fine. Degree or not, resources or not. But you know what? What you tend to find is if you're on God's path, or you're going to where God told you to go, there's your provision. Where was Elijah's provision? Was it where he was? Or was it where he was told to go? It's where he was told to go. Are you folks seeing that God has a plan and a purpose for you, that he will provide, that he has provided? Get it right, Vic. He has provided. He wants you healed. He wants you whole. He wants you prosperous. He wants you successful. What are you exercising your mind upon? What direction is your mind focused on? Are you looking up or are you looking into your hands? Are you looking up or are you looking down? Of the God or the earth? And then he blessed it. It doesn't say what he says, but I picture him like, oh, Father, I thank you for this food that I have in my hand. I thank you for this bountiful provision. I thank you that I actually have something in my hand. I thank you that there is something there for me to work with. Something there for me to start with. Thank you that I can use this. Thank you that I actually have something that in partnership with you, I can multiply and extend, and then I can provide. Thank you that you have anointed and appointed me to flow in your power. Maybe that was what Jesus said. But whatever, he blessed it. Well, at least we can say he was being positive. Yeah? He did not say, okay, guys, thanks for that. What on earth am I supposed to do with this? That's not even enough for us. What are you thinking of? Do you see how many people out there? This is a waste of time. This is no good. This is no use. I can't use that. God, why have you given me so little? That's being negative. Keith didn't spot it. I would say even worse than that. That would have been cursing it. Blessings or cursings? Blessings or cursings? No, Jesus blessed it. Jesus blessed what he had in the natural. He blessed what he had in his hands at that time. He took it in his hands, he blessed it, and the word says he broke it and gave it to the disciples to distribute. Number four, he used what he had. Now you might say, well, that's a bit obvious. Yeah, but for some of us, we've got skills, experiences, mindset, things we're not using. Jesus used what he had. He looked into the spiritual realm, he blessed it, and he'd get what? Then he actually did something. He actually did something. He started. He used what he had. He started to distribute the food. He did what he could. He broke up the food that he had in his hands and he distributed it. He was acting upon what he'd seen in the spiritual realm. He'd acted upon his faith, used what he had, and great things happened. The miraculous happened. The supernatural happened. There's lots of lessons for us there. Lesson one, first, just do something. Start. No matter how small it is, just start. Just do something. Well, I feel God's telling me to start a business, but you know, I've never done it before, and I've not got a lot of money to kick things off, and there's no one to help me. Well, just start. Just start, just do something, even if it's while you're still working your job. Just do something to start that business. God told you to read a book. Read a book. Maybe he has told you to read a book. I'm going to start with small things. Has God told you to write a book? Yeah, well, write a sentence. Put a title. Start. Just start to move. You know, you cannot change direction unless you're moving. If you're just standing still, you cannot change direction. If I want to go over there, I've got to start moving and then change direction. Just start, do something. If you want a change of direction in your life, move. The supernatural, the miraculous will not happen unless you do something natural first. Jesus broke up the food and started to distribute it. He actually did something with what he had. Healing is supernatural, yes. Healing is miraculous, yes. What did Jesus say to the disciples? Did he say, go out, my friends, and watch people being healed? Go out and just stand there and watch people being healed. No, what did he say? He said, lay hands on the sick. Actually, do something. Move in the physical. Although Jesus had very little in the natural, he started to feed the people. He actually used what he had in his hands. He actually used that. I was thinking about this. Wow, it's just so insignificant. It's just so little. Well, you just start somewhere. Start to do something. Have any of you heard of compound interest? It's interest that you get every month. So you get interest on your initial savings, then interest on your savings on the interest, then you get interest on the interest and the interest. And then it... So I did a little calculation yesterday. If you started with £100 today, and put that into the bank, even at 1% interest, put that away every month for 30 years, you're going to end up with about £450,000. Which is huge. And if you start with a tenner, it's £45,000. Doing little will build up. I remember my mum used to have this. God, it was like 45, 50 years ago. I still remember it. She had this little box. A little money box. that her and my dad would put coins in, but only she had the key. See, I wasn't a daft, my mother. And she had this little money box you could put money in, and I never ever saw the key. But I knew it was empty because I'd give it a shake every now and again. So I don't know where the key was ever, but this would fill up and get emptied. And it had on it, tall oaks from little acorns grow. And that has stuck with me my whole life. Something that can be insignificant. Change for changes like that. Your little copper coins can feed kids in India. Little things. And then I was flicking on YouTube last week. Funny how all these things seem to come together when you're preparing a sermon. And I came across a video of Warren Buffett. Now, some of you might know him. He's an American. He's an investor. And he does courses and everything. And he was talking about a woman he called Mrs. B, a lady called Rose Blumkin. Anybody heard of Rose Blumkin? Absolutely amazing woman. Born in Belarus at the end of the 19th century. Emigrated to the United States at the age of 19, and her dream was to have a furniture shop. Now, I don't know why she thought it was her dream, but that was her dream. Her dream was to have a furniture shop. So she came over, and from the age of 19, she saved. And after 21 years, she had $500. 21 years to save that amount of money. Not a significant amount of money. Probably more back then, but... But she started a business with that 500 quid, $500, sold it to Warren Buffett 40 years later for 60 million. Lived in comfort to the ripe old age of 104. Very little in the physical, but she started. She did something. Saving a little here, a little there, then opening a little shop with a little investment. She started something, she moved, and the rest is history. Now, as far as I can see, that was all done in the physical. This works in the physical as well. But can you imagine the power of it for us when we put the spiritual realm into that as well and use the things of God and who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ? It's awesome. Let me summarize this account of Jesus feeding the 5,000 for you. Jesus took something small in the natural, looked at it in the spiritual realm, blessed it, and used it. That's it. It's not a very complicated model, is it? Used what he had, took up what he had, looked to the spiritual possibilities, blessed it, and then used it. And used it in a mighty, wondrous, and supernatural way. And that's a model we can use, we can learn from. First thing we have to do, we have to recognize what we have in the physical. Well, I've got no skills. Nonsense. I've got no experience. I'm looking around, there's not many spring chickens in here this morning. We've all got experience, goodness sake. You know, looking at Zan there, Zan had never worked at the job that she's done at the moment, that she's doing now. But has she had experiences looking after her mum? So use that experience for your job, which she's done. We've all got experiences. We've all got experience. What resources do you have? Well, no one will probably say I've got nothing. Well, I've got next to nothing. Yeah, but that means you've got something that you can use. Took Rose 21 years to save $500. But she started. Now, I don't know what she started with, but if maybe she had a box like my mum and she put that dime in it. This is for my furniture shop. And then maybe 3 weeks later, a nickel. Is that an American coin? Mm-hmm. Yeah, put that in. That's from a furniture shop. And maybe 1 month, she had a really good month, she put a dollar in. It's from a furniture shop. Very little, but she started somewhere. She actually started. Recognise what we have in the physical, our resources, our skills, our experiences, etc. And then look to the things of God. Look to the promises of God. Look to what you have in Christ. Look to who you are in Christ. More of that next week. And bless what you have. If you're not sure how to do that, just be positive. Just make a mental note that I'm going to stop being negative. Every time I start doing that, it doesn't work. I remember one of my ex-colleagues, he was the most negative man I've ever met in my life. Unbelievable. Anything that was going to go wrong, went wrong for that man. It was like, this holiday is going to be a disaster. Well, surprise, surprise, it came back. Well, how was your holiday? It was an absolute disaster. There's always something goes wrong with that. And he had to go one day, himself, with some other customers, go into the plane and get his own bag. Has that ever happened to anybody? Oh, well, I'll tell you what, it happened to him. Negative about everything. Bless him. He was a good guy, mind you. Bless what you have. Speak positively, not negatively, and then use it. Don't sit on the proverbial and wait. Use it. Start to do something. Move. And to me, I'm looking at that, I think that's a great model for success. I've been analysing things over the last week, and I can see certain parts of my life where I'm doing that. Hallelujah! And then there's other parts of my life when I'm not. Ooh. But there's a model. Just start. Do it. I've been pondering about things for years and years, and just me started. Well, start. That's a great model for success, a model for moving in the extraordinary. Now, it might take a while. Well, for Jesus, it was instantaneous. Boom, I don't know how it happened. But anyway, that little bit of fish became like whale. Must have been to feed out that thing. But you've got to start. So let me ask you those questions again, the ones that I started with and the ones I'm going to be asking you next week. As I said, I want to challenge you. I want to make you think. I want you to think about these questions for a couple of weeks. What do you have in your hands? What do you possess right now that you can use? What skill sets do you have? What experience do you have? What knowledge can you use? What are you good at? What resources do you have to utilise? Whatever it is, it may look small, but what do you have now that you can use now? Could even kind of go back a step. Is there anything useful you have rejected, you have ignored, you've not recognised as useful in your life? Anything in your life that you've not taken into your hands yet? See, that's the first thing you've got to do. You've got to take them into your hands. Then, are you valuing what you have in your hands? How are you thinking about those things you possess, the things you use? Are you valuing what you have, or are you belittling them? Yeah, I'm pretty good at that, but I'm not as good as him. Or I'm not as good as them, I'll never be as good as them. See, there's one area in my life I know I'm the best whiskey educator the world's ever seen. And I know that. But getting down to writing my book about the Nativity, I was thinking about it yesterday. I've said to Nancy about four or five times in the last few weeks, Dad, I'm just not as good at writing as you are. And I've just recognised that just now. I'll give you all my notes. You write it. Because you're way better at writing than me. I'm not good at writing. I'm the best whiskey educator the world has ever seen, but I can't write a book. Because I'm not valuing that intellect, that skill set of writing. I mean, I could start. Well, I have started, but I've started on numerous occasions and then stopped. You know, I'm not standing here saying I'm perfect. Some areas I am. Pretty damn close. But there's loads of areas where I can use this model. I can see that I can use this model. And that just been a slap this morning to me about that book. Are you right? I'm not as good as you. No, let's stop thinking like that. Let's stop thinking like that and saying, well, I'm going to give this a bash. You know, it might be that I have to give it to Nancy to sort it out, but at least I'll have started. Are you valuing what you have, your whiskey knowledge, or are you belittling them, how you write? Are you looking purely in the natural, or are you considering the spiritual as well? And then what are you saying about what you have in your hands? Are you speaking negatively or positively about what you have? Are you blessing or cursing what you're capable of? Or what you're doing, what you're currently doing? And then, last question, what are you doing with what you have in your hands? Are you even using what you have? Are you even trying to utilise your strengths and your skills, your resources, however limited they are? Or have you stopped? Given up? I can't finish that book. Who'd want to read it anyway? Who'd want to read what I write? What's the point? I can't be bothered anymore. Is there something that I've not even started yet that you could do? Challenging questions. Questions that I really want you prayerfully consider this week. Be honest with yourself. But just like what I've done there, when you're being honest, congratulate yourself for the successes as well. Congratulate yourself for what you have done, for what you have achieved, what you are doing with your limited resources. But also challenge yourself. It shouldn't all be doom and gloom. Don't just look at what you're not doing. Look at what you are doing and see if you can transfer that onto what you're not doing. I want to celebrate success as well when pondering these questions. Okay, I think I'll leave it there this morning. Leave you with that. Leave you to think about those four questions. Next week, we're going to look at another example of someone using something small in the natural and doing something supernatural with it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening.